This is Mythical.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Yo, Christmas sugar cookies, I'm really happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish, but arugula is one of the best holiday desserts of all time. Eh? Anyone? Kanye West, 2009 VMAs, I'm schwitzing over here. Anyways, today we're giving Hanukkah food the attention it deserves. This is a hot dog as a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What?
Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And Nicole, we often reference the fact that we are Jewish on this podcast.
Ma kore, Josh? Ma kore, akol beseder? Ken?
Bless you. And someone recently said in a comment, I wish you would devote a whole episode to Jewish food.
And that's so nice of them.
That is very nice. And I think it's cool we can bring our cultures
sure,
in. One of the problems, I think, is I don't know how knowledgeable I am about Jewish culture and food outside of my own experience.
Interesting. I think you are very well versed in like the majority of foods, not just limited to Jewish foods. I think you're just is there a word for a polyglot, but for food?
Oh.
Is there?
Polyphage?
I think that's you.
I think you eat everything?
I think you're a polyphage.
I'm on a seafood diet.
You're a polyphagist.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing. Nicole, as my best friend, thank you so much
you
for
saying
that.
You heard it here first, ladies and gents. Josh said he's my best friend, finally, after how many episodes of this damn podcast?
We've spent
85! 85 episodes that took you this long to admit that you're my best friend. Thank you so much.
Oh, just in the Hanukkah giving spirit. But no, today I thought we would, you know, both rank our top three Hanukkah dishes that we grew up eating.
Oh.
But for me, we were just talking, like you mentioned, you were like, is arugula a Hanukkah dish? And I was like, listen, at my family, we are Reformed Jews. Mm-hmm. We, you know, my great aunt is like 85 years old. Mm-hmm. She would get drunk off Manischewitz and be like, you know, Jews can be atheists. I'm atheist. And I'm like, oh, come on. Don't tell me that.
Yeah.
Of
course. No, because like, let me tell you, Judaism is weird because it's like you can be culturally and traditionally Jewish, but not believe in God.
Yeah.
Like that's how my dad is. Like, he doesn't believe in God 1 ounce, not at all, total atheist. But he's like, are you coming home for Shabbat? And I'm like, yes, sir, I am.
So yeah, like, yeah, I view it, for myself at least, as like a shared cultural history, right?
Yes.
We were all affected by the same things in history.
Sure.
We all have the family stories going back. And it is in your genetic lineage.
Mm-hmm.
I recently went to a Chabad for the first time for a friend's bar mitzvah a couple weeks ago. And I mostly
ate. Did you like it?
It was great. They were all just slamming Irish whiskey.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't the Chabad that I remember going to for Hebrew school when I was younger. And I had a really great time. But point is, all my experiences are based on what I grew up with my family.
Sure.
And a lot of it was divorced from, you know, a lot of strict religious tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where my point of view is coming from.
Nice.
So what are your favorite Hanukkah foods?
Okay.
Also, should we say, wait, do you think I remember the Hanukkah prayer?
You want to try?
Do you think I can do it? How much do you guys want to bet that
Josh
I can do it?
Josh wants to try. And I think if you want to try and this is the place to do it, do it.
Okay. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kedeshanu b'mitzvah tov yivitzivanu
lehedlik?
Lehedlik?
Uh-huh.
Lehedlik?
Lehedlik?
Chanukah?
Nershel.
Lehedlik Nershel. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kedeshanu b'mitzvah tov yivitzivanu God dang it.
Lehedlik
Nershel Hanukkah.
I'm pretty sure that's
close
how
enough.
It is.
We'll take it.
That was wonderful.
What'd you like to eat on Hanukkah?
Well, I don't have necessarily an order, but I can I just say my number one favorite thing?
Tell
I don't want to say my three.
Tell me about
I have
it.
One favorite thing, and it's gelt.
Oh, no. Hanukkah gelt.
I heart gelt.
Tell the people about gelt, Nicole.
Gelt is just chocolate coins. And then it teaches little kids how to gamble, and that's fun for me.
Did you full on do the dreidel gambling game?
Oh, of course.
Which is, I mean, a dreidel, it's gambling die is what it is.
Yeah, it is. And it's like, I don't know, I don't remember what gimel, dalet, hey, I don't remember what all of those things are.
You don't want nun, you nun want gimel.
Yeah, you always want gimel.
You always want gimel. Gimel for, G for gold.
Yeah. I just always thought it was fun because, you know, there was like the big coins and then the little coins, and then like the little coins had some sort of denomination no matter like where you were. And then like you would all like try to hoard the big coins, and then it was just fun. And then Meggy actually reminded me of this. You remove the gold and then you put it on your teeth and you have grills. So it was like fun. Everyone, you know, people are going to say like sufganiyot, latkes, brisket, gefilte fish. I don't need gefilte fish.
You don't need gefilte fish?
No. Meshuggahna. No. So one time I tried gefilte fish thinking it was gondi. Gondi is like the Persian equivalent of a matzo ball. Mm-hmm. And honey, no. Sweet fish ball, not very good.
Well, gefilte fish technically is a matzo ball. That should be the title of the episode.
Is it?
Well, I mean, it's a ball of fish that's mixed with like matzo meal and other root vegetables like parsnips and whatever.
Yeah. One thing I never got was why Ashkenazi people eat matzah other than like Passover. Like, why do y'all do that?
If you're ever asking a question,
don't you get constipated?
What? No, I mean, I don't know. I think a lot of the questions about what is Ashkenazi food. First, mm-hmm. for people who don't know, Ashkenazi refers to mostly like Eastern European mm-hmm. Jews. A lot of cold climate foods.
Yeah.
When you're thinking of a lot of Jewish deli dishes.
True.
Like a lot of the smoked meat, that comes from like mm-hmm. Central European Germanic traditions.
Sure.
And then all of the cabbage and the beets and mm-hmm. the parsnips.
Yep.
All that just goes to like the only foods you could grow
pickled
in Russia,
herring.
Latvia, you know, Lithuania. Yeah, mm-hmm. you took the little river fish that were frozen in ice and you packed them in vinegar
mm-hmm.
So they just stayed good.
Nice.
And then you ate them. Yeah. And that's how you get dishes like gefilte fish, which is like essentially preserved white fish that is just pureed into a delicious fish meatball
mm-hmm.
And flavored very lightly. A little bit of dill, a little bit of carrot thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely love gefilte
fish.
You
like
fish.
It.
I have
I
a dream
don't like it.
Of opening a gefilte fish taco stand.
A gefilte fishery, if you will.
Fusing my L.A. roots with my Ashkenazi Jewish traditions.
Uh-huh.
Deep fry a little, like, beer batter on that gefilte fish. You know, do, like, a little beet salsa chimol.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be a delight.
Josh, normally I support your ideas, but that sounds absolutely disgusting, and I never want that to come into fruition ever.
Yeah, I don't know if gefilte fish is the easiest thing to sell.
Josh, what is your favorite, or top three, your favorite Hanukkah food? I want to know what you like.
Okay, I mean, we mentioned rugula, which mm-hmm. I started pronouncing rugalach my whole life. And then I started dating an East Coast Jew,
mm-hmm.
which, you know.
They say a lot of ha.
Yeah, and a lot of it, it's like Italian Americans, right? You get like capicola becomes gabagool.
Yeah.
Rugalach becomes rugula.
Yeah.
And it's a thing.
It's a Yiddish thing.
Yeah, and I mean, she comes from a family where, you know, her mom plays Jewish Lady Mahjong.
Oh, yeah,
which is like
me
a big thing.
Yeah.
Watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel if you want any insight into the Jewish Lady Mahjong culture. And so I defer to her on
mm-hmm,
pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, rugula is absolutely great. It's the kind of like a little pinwheel pastry cookie.
It's
I don't know.
Yummy.
Do the goys have a word for it? Because they'll
Man.
Sell it at like Costco, a thing that is ostensibly rugula, but it'll
hate
be like
the word goy. It like makes me so sad. Like non-Jew is nicer.
Gentile. The Gentiles. The Gentiles can also partake in rugula from the Costco.
Of course, they can. I used to get my rugula from the kosher bakery in the Ralphs. And honey, the raspberry, I would just eat that up, like three at a time, like yum, yum, yum.
Other delicious Jewish pastries. You were talking about sufganiyot. School
oh,
people sufganiyot. On sufganiyot.
Sufganiyot is, we have it on Hanukkah because we love to have fried things on Hanukkah.
And
to
the oil.
Us of the oil that was supposed to only last for like a day and then ended up extending for 8 days. Miracle.
It was after a battle.
Yeah, I don't remember that
the
part.
The Maccabees beat back the
oh,
Romans
yeah.
to defend. Yeah.
Did you watch the Rugrats episode recently?
I sure did.
Okay. That's
And I watched the Disney Channel original movie mm-hmm. about the basketball team
that
had
best.
A whole allegory to Hanukkah.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
lights
yeah.
in the gym were going to go out. The generator wasn't
mm-hmm,
working, Nicole,
mm-hmm.
in the championship game. But then the lights, in a Hanukkah miracle fashion, lasted for four quarters or something. And the Jewish kids learned self-esteem.
But back to sufganiyot. It's just, it's a jelly-filled donut. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's a jelly donut.
It's a jelly donut. You could go to Dunkin' and have one right now and be like, two sufganiyot, please. I'll be like, what are you talking about? Two jelly donuts, I guess.
I will say, though, most sufganiyot that I've had, it's kind of worse jelly donut. It's like jelly donut from, like, I would rather go to Krispy Kreme and get a jelly. Like, arugula, really? There's no comparison for me in the can, right? It's this, like, crusty, almost brioche-like risen pastry with just, like, all this melty chocolate in it. Sometimes you'll throw the almonds in there. Arugula, to me, is something that, like, you can't really compare on any scale. But then you get souvlaki, and it's like, oh, jelly donut, but, like, a little bit bad.
Yeah, what about babka?
Babka, giant arugula.
Yeah.
Right? Pretty much similar? So babka.
No, let me tell you. Okay, so it's challah, babka, arugula, gelt.
Those are your favorite?
No. That's like the line of where it goes.
Oh, that's the evolutionary chart. All right, so
gelt is like the homo habilis. Okay?
So and gelt is just a chocolate coin, to reiterate.
And then arugula is dough wrapped around the chocolate. You don't have to use... Also, the chocolate in gelt is like so bad.
Yeah, can we talk about that for a second? Ugh, it's the worst quality chocolate.
Probably because it's parv. For those that don't know what parv means it has no dairy in it. So
I don't think it's parv. Is it? I mean...
I don't know, but like maybe it is.
It could be. Know. All I know is it is the worst quality chocolate.
It is nasty.
Me and Julia keep a stash of Hanukkah gelt in our... We thought it was like a cute thing to do.
Cute.
Like, oh, we want a little nice snack. You know, something that reminds us of family and
nasty.
All that. And yeah, we took one bite. We're like,
plastic.
Better when we were kids.
Yeah, for sure. It's a nostalgic thing for me. I think that's what it is. And then it's rugelach. And then babka is like a big rugelach. And then challah is like what babka is made out of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like that's the chain of like...
I feel that.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
I mean, challah is like, that's probably my favorite. It's not a Hanukkah-specific food. Obviously, you eat it on Shabbat.
Food, yeah.
But challah to me is like the king of all breads.
I think so, too. I think it's my
it's
favorite bread.
It's fantastic. It's just a three-braid challah, and the three braids are the, three things you got to do on Shabbat.
Oh, is that what it is?
No, it is. Maggie, you confirm?
I know what the three things are.
I don't know.
If that is what the three things are,
I thought that
that's
I was
really
always
lovely.
Told that growing up, that there was like a message to the three-braided challah.
That's really lovely. If it is, the three things that you do is, number one, you make challah. Number two, you light Shabbat candles. Number three, I don't remember the third one. Damn it, my Jewish wife classes were a waste of time.
But my single favorite thing to do is just to tear into challah, just tear into one of the braids.
Yeah.
And then you take that. Hopefully it's got some sesame seeds on the outside. That's my favorite.
I like salt.
Oh, you like the salt challah?
I just like salt.
It gets too pretzely. I want the sweet from the challah. And then I take that and I swipe it through chopped chicken liver. Chopped liver is my single favorite Jew food
that
exists.
That funky funk, good stuff.
Your folks don't do that?
Not really.
Why not?
I don't know.
What do you do with the livers of the chicken?
I don't know. Maybe just fry
them? Is it like a choresh with
No. We don't.
Any organ meats?
Very few organ meats in Persian cookery.
You know what it was? The weather was hotter, so you were just able to raise animals without them dying in the frost. I think that's what I trace all of Ashkenazi Jewish food back to. It's just like, it was cold. We tried our best.
You know what we have to talk about? Latkes and their accompanying dips.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, you can't talk about Hanukkah without talking about latkes.
It's a
potato pancake, as Bobby Flay said in his thing where he made latkes. And he goes, Jews call them latkes. You know, they're potato pancakes. No, Bobby, they're latkes. But latke, potato pancake. Also, you can make it with other root vegetables. The OG latkes were made with cheese several hundred years ago.
Yes, I found that out recently. What a trip that was.
And Persian latkes are called kukusibzamini. Right?
You don't know how much joy it brings. Yes, you're right.
Buckets.
And nothing brings me more joy than hearing you speak Farsi. You know, it just like truly like makes me happy to hear a white man speak Farsi. It like warms my soul.
Khubi?
Bale, merci shoma khubi.
Khubi. Anyways. Okay, what kind of latkes did you grow up in?
Well, my latkes were kukusibzamini. You would just take, so instead of shredding the potatoes, we would just like mash them and then add egg.
Do you cook them and mash them?
You cook them and mash them, yeah. I think so. It's been a long, I've never made it. My mom makes it.
Yeah.
I don't even attempt it. I think you cook the potatoes. I think my mom would microwave the potatoes. She would mash the potatoes. She would add egg, salt, and pepper. And then she would like just, you know, flatten them out and fry them up.
We used to have leftover mashed potatoes with my divorced dad's house. That was what we do. We'd get like the country crock mashed potatoes, and little did we know, we were making kukusibzamini.
Look at you. But I like the shreddy ones more.
Yeah.
The shreddy ones.
That's what
good.
I grew up on. The ones that look very much like a McDonald's hash brown in a way, or like Denny's diner
Similar,
style hash browns.
Yeah.
But it's the egg and the flour and the grated onion that like really makes a latke.
Oh, yeah, grated onion. There was a lot of grated onion in ours, too. What do you dip it in? So there's applesauce, there's sour cream, there is ketchup, which is apparently a very, very, it's point of contention for a lot of people. Hot sauce. Love hot sauce. And what's another one that we can just throw in there?
Oh, Russian dressing. That's my choice.
Russian dressing?
And I'll tell you exactly why. Wait, first
what?
Up, we got to talk about the hot sauce thing, because when I went to your house for, was it Yom Kippur?
I think so.
When I went to your house for Yom Kippur.
Oh, no. Yom Kippur is where we don't eat.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Rosh Hashanah. When I went to your house for Rosh Hashanah, and we had like, you know, 16 people sitting around the table, uh-huh. and it was an absolutely beautiful feast. The food was all freaking fantastic.
I'll tell my mom you said that.
And then like three bottles of hot sauce started being passed around.
Yeah.
And like everyone was just hot saucing the
hell
out of the food.
Can I tell you something? That is a David and Heidi classic. David has introduced my family. Well, not really my family, but like he has to have like four hot sauces available to him at all times, no matter what he's eating. Doesn't matter if it's...
I love that. So do I.
Sushi, Persian food, I don't know. Any food from anywhere... Multiple hot sauces that all get passed around. That's a David and Heidi original.
That's called being part of a diaspora culture.
Yeah.
Because I was sitting there and like, I don't know if you noticed, I showed up overdressed, which is the only time I've ever been overdressed to anything.
Aww,
I showed up with a kippah on, with a yarmulke, affixed to my head with a hair clip.
Oh my God, this guy brought it. First of all, my house has yarmulkes because like we just have like a stack of them from like events and stuff like that. This guy comes in, clipped to his head a woven Philadelphia Eagles.
Go Birds! Go Birds!
Like a dork with his shirt. And it's just
with
like
a tucked in button down
so
shirt.
So sweet. I was like, wow.
I was trying to impress your parents.
But it was
such like a beautiful like ceremonial meal. Thanks. We're all reading the prayers and I was like, wow, this food is sacred. It's beautiful. And then David's like, hot sauce! Ma! I need the hot sauce! And I just love that. Okay, lock of dips. What's your dip of choice?
It's ketchup.
Straight up ketchup. You haven't wavered from that.
It's always been
How
ketchup.
Did that start for you?
I don't know. Like, well, first of all, Persians love ketchup. Persians put ketchup on
really?
Their rice. Persians put ketchup on their pizza. Persians put ketchup on your ketchup. Like, they love ketchup. They put ketchup on everything. I was never that kid that put ketchup on their rice or ketchup on their pizza, but ketchup on like, potatoes? I mean, french fry?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Hash brown? I mean, latke.
That was the exact reason when I was a kid, would dip it in ketchup mm-hmm. because I had eaten McDonald's hash browns. I had eaten latkes and I was like, same, same, but different. And so I would just dip it in ketchup. But then I was introduced to my birthright joy of applesauce and sour cream.
Do you like it?
Love it. I cannot eat latkes without, if I want to be a little flitty out there, I'll drop a little bit of horseradish in that sour cream.
Yeah.
That with the sweet applesauce, and I put mm-hmm. applesauce and sour cream on each bite of the latke.
Ooh.
Girl.
I guess I just don't like, I don't know, maybe, sour cream I get. Maybe, okay, hear me out. Sour cream with the hot sauce, mixy-mixy-mix, almost like spicy mayo, which is my
Chipotle
favorite.
Chipotle crema?
Oh my, no Chipotle crema, too much Bobby Flay. No. You take the vinegariest hot sauce you got in your cabinet, and then you put it with the sour cream. Like, that makes sense.
I
don't like applesauce. Applesauce!
Very Ashkenazi thing. Ooh. Apples grow in the cold. It was very cold. We did what we could. Also, when apples freeze, you just mash them and they turn into applesauce. And so there it is.
Thank you for your justification.
We didn't have the bounty. the Russian dressing thing for me, though, uh-huh. where that comes
what
from.
What is? Some people might not know what Russian dressing is.
Russian dressing is, if Thousand Island is ketchup, mayonnaise, and pickles, mm-hmm. Russian dressing is that plus maybe a little bit of beet juice. If you
Ooh,
go into the OG
really?
Recipe,
okay.
Russian dressing is like chopped bell pepper and onion and Heinz chili sauce, which is a condiment that like barely exists anymore.
I've had mayonnaise. It like once or twice. Yeah.
Yeah, like beet juice, Worcestershire, but it's basically just a little bit sweeter, a little bit less acidic. Thousand Island.
Nice.
And the reason I put that on latkes is because one of my favorite things to do is get real drunk and then go to the Jewish deli at 2 a.m.
Mm.
Izzy's in Santa Monica was my go-to just because it's 24 hours.
I have been to Izzy's.
You know, do they have the best food? No. Do they have the nicest servers? Absolutely not. No, Jesus.
No.
They are so mean.
Yeah. what's it called? Weathered?
Yeah, oh, they are weather-worn and beaten and tired. Yep. And that said, you can go there and you can get a chopped liver plate with latkes and a Reuben sandwich with a side of Russian dressing.
For like $45.
And a black coffee. Yeah, no,
yeah,
it's an expensive
really
meal.
Really expensive.
Yeah, that's the wildest thing. It's not a cheap place.
No.
But that said, you're like going out in Santa Monica. You want to be by the beach. You want to feel nice and cool. And then when you just need to sober up real fast, you go to Izzy's Deli and then you're dipping latkes in Russian dressing.
Oh,
and that's
man.
How I express my faith, Nicole. That's my truth.
I'm glad you express your faith in whichever way that you see fit.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Why don't we talk about brisket?
Brisket.
Now, the way that my family makes brisket, you're gonna love
this. Well, why come brisket is popular? Huh? Why come brisket popular meat for juice?
Do you know why?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just gonna guess.
Please guess.
You cook it for a long time and you put it away and then you come back.
You can do that with any meat. Well, you can do that with oxtail. You can do that with
I tried.
With shank. Okay. No, because in kashrut law or whatever, is that the right term? Kashrut?
Kashrut, yeah. I don't know.
Back half of the animal's not kosher.
Yes, correct.
And so brisket comes from the cow titties. And so that's it's essentially the breast of the cow, right?
Yes.
If you really want to look at it. Uh-huh. And so brisket is a popular kosher meat because it's just the largest muscle cut in the front half of the animal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. And then I was talking to my grandma and she was like, yeah, we lived on a farm and we would just chop the animal in half and just like go sell the hindquarters and then save the front half for us.
Oh, wow. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Like maybe that's why that rule like came to be. Like the back side of the animal was like to like financially like, you know,
could have been.
Maybe that's so interesting. OK, I love brisket.
Oh, yeah. I love brisket. A good Jewish brisket. Fantastic.
Yeah. But you know what? Our brisket, it has prunes in it.
Dude, wait, we put
prunes and apricots.
I put prunes in my brisket.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I don't know if I follow a very traditional recipe. My family wasn't great at cooking. I love you, Grandma. You don't know how to access a podcast. you don't know how to turn on the AM radio in your home. My family wasn't great cooks, and so I didn't grow up with any, like, great Jewish cooking traditions. There are a couple dishes,
mm-hmm.
but brisket was one that I thought I hated until I started making myself.
Nice.
And when I did, you know I started putting prunes in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really helps improve the flavor. I've seen some recipes that, like, make, like, a barbecue sauce to go with it, but they use, like, cola.
Oh, weird. Stuff. That's, I mean, obviously a very American addition, which I think is really cool that happens.
I love brisket.
It's like there's this Vietnamese dish called Thịt Kho that is like pork belly that people will stew in 7-Up, like mixing 7-Up with soy sauce.
Yeah.
And then the sugar from the 7-Up caramelizes. That's like same thing, but with the Jewish diaspora and Coca-Cola brisket.
Yeah. You know what we never talked about?
Well, I'm still talking about brisket. About brisket.
How dare I? Take it away, Josh.
Are there like sort of separations in preparation with like a Persian Jewish brisket? Like how do y'all cook it? What you putting on it?
That's a great question. My mom doesn't make it all the time. She makes it sometimes whenever she feels like it, which is how my mom cooks. So I would say what she does is we don't use broth. We don't use, like, beef broth in our food. Like, she just makes it herself.
Yeah, you know that makes what I sense. Mean? I mean, you just pour in water in the brisket and let the brisket
exactly,
make its own.
Like, we don't add additional broth to our foods. Like,
I
we don't
do that
with
that.
Our, yeah. And then just a real, real simple seasoning, like salt, pepper. She might add garlic powder if she really wants to. And then she adds, like, a crap ton of, like, prunes and apricots, some wine. Tomato sauce and stuff like that. And then she just lets it go.
That's like identical to how I do mine.
Basically. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I love that the fruit soaking up the beef fat with the tomato.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
A little bit of sweetness and acid from the wine.
Yeah.
I really wanted to impress after Julie and I started dating for like 2 months, Hanukkah rolls around and she's like, do you want to come meet my mom? And
that's
I was like,
quick.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, we moved fast.
Nice.
We love each other.
I like it.
You know when you know. I came over and I spent like 3 days preparing this brisket.
Wow.
You know, I mean like brining it.
Wow, you went all out.
Oh, fully went all out. Braised it, chilled it, skimmed the fat, strained the liquid, added it back, sliced it while it was cold, put it back in to reheat so we get clean slices off it.
Uh-huh.
And it was so funny. I went over for Hanukkah and Julia's mom was like shredding potatoes for latkes. And she was like, hey, can you help me figure out this recipe? And she holds like a Xeroxed copy of handwritten notes.
Oh,
and I'm like, what is
this? That's incredible.
And she's like, this is a recipe. Like my friend Doris and Esther forwarded me from Florida where they were their snowbirds.
That's lovely.
And the recipe made zero sense whatsoever, which is a great metaphor for Jewish food traditions.
Oh,
just being passed in like a Xeroxed copy that you can't read.
Yeah.
And it'll be like 8 potatoes. And like the potatoes she had were these giant like 14-ounce, you know,
so those
oven bakers,
right
and I was
stages.
Like, yo, let's just do this by hand. Mm-hmm. And I felt really great to be able to go in and just kind of like make latkes by feel. It was one of those few moments where I really felt sort of connected to my heritage in a way.
That's wonderful.
You know, being able to save a recipe, ain't got to look at anything. I made latkes so many times and I love them so much that I can just go in and just feel everything out.
That's nice.
Taste as you go.
When's the last time you lit a Hanukkah candle?
Oh, it would have been that. It would have been 2 years ago.
Yeah?
Okay, Julie and I maybe tried to do it last year and then we're like, well, we're watching all the body swap movies that we can on Netflix, and so we're pretty busy with that. But next year...
Are you telling me to buy... You want me to buy you Hanukkah?
What?
You want me to buy you one of the candle holders?
Sentra?
A Hanukkah?
I've never heard the term Hanukkah.
Yeah, have you, Maggie? See, Maggie?
What's a Hanukkah?
It's the candle holder.
I am divorced from my roots. I was never bar mitzvahed.
We're going to marry them. We're going to marry them. You're divorced. Get them back together. Reconciliation.
I still don't have a mezuzah on my door.
You don't?
No, all the bad spirits are getting in.
Dad, you don't have one yet? I have to get you one. Okay, don't worry. I'm going to make some calls. This is such Jewish mom energy. You don't have a mezuzah. I got to get you one.
How do you feel about pickled herring?
I don't feel a thing for pickled herring. Neither chicken livers, chop stuff. Nope. What is it? One time I went to Jewish and I saw herring and cream.
Yeah,
the
cream,
hell is
cream
that?
Herring, creamed herring, creamed herring. Here's the thing. Going back to Lafayette, all the fish very small, very small, very small, very small. And so what you got to do? There's also a lot of dairy because cows are fat. You know they can survive. And so you cream the cows and then you add that to the pickled herring and the vinegar and then you get sour fish.
Wait.
Swimming in cream.
Sour creamy fish.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine something anything more disgusting. Than
what?
That.
No, hold on. You benefit from the Ashkenazi preserved fish tradition, Nicole. Okay, smoked salmon?
That's good.
You love locks.
I heart locks.
Why? But if you're down with the locks, you gotta be down with like smoked sprats and kippered herring.
Okay, kippered, I like.
What's kippered? Like cooked in vinegar or something?
Is that what kippered means? Kippered is fine, but like the cream and the vinegar?
Yeah, you gotta get down with the cream. Creamed herring is where it's at. I grew up eating. When you went to my family gatherings, Hanukkah included, because with Hanukkah, we were kind of like, let's throw all the Jewish foods we know at the table. Mm-hmm. And so there would be at least four different just like mashed gray to beige pastes with various garnishes on. And then you'd eat them on matzah or challah. And it's like my favorite thing
That's
still.
That's nice. At least you have like some sort of connection.
You basically blend the pickled herring into a paste and then you add sieved egg on top.
Oh, wow. It gets worse. each word makes it worse.
Maggie, did you grow up with any of that? No, man. Maybe it's just my family.
Nice. Okay, we didn't talk about kugel.
Kugel.
I don't eat, this is an Ashkenazi food that I do not necessarily dabble in, but
yes.
Maybe once or twice.
Kugel is bread pudding, but with noodles. It's like if bread pudding and mac and cheese kind of had a little baby.
Yeah, but you put sugar in it?
They had to do it through a hole in the sheets.
Orthodox joke.
Orthodox joke. There it is. No, it's like egg noodles, cream, eggs, cinnamon, sugar, raisins.
Yeah.
And then you bake it into a brick.
You know how people are like, oh, raisins and potato salad?
Yeah.
This is that, but with noodle and your mac and cheese.
Do you like it at all?
I like kugel. I do pick out the raisins, though.
I'm definitely making a kugel this year.
Try it.
This is absolutely happening
for me.
Do
you put schmaltz in your kugel, or is that not allowed?
I don't. We rock the butter. We kind of take the traditions, and then schmaltz, though, is the best flavored cooking fat. I just don't love super savory kugels. For me, it's like a very sweet thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll salt it. We add, like, cottage cheese to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing. But, dude, just schmaltz fried chicken?
Yeah. Schmaltz, for those that don't know, is Yiddish for chicken fat.
Yeah, and it's...
with onion, right? I don't know.
I think
sometimes,
probably flavor it with onion, yeah.
Yeah, really good, like, cooking oil. Like, save your chicken fat.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the best Jew foods out there is gribenes. I call them Jew terones, Jewish chicharrones.
You like gribenes. I don't like gribenes.
You don't like it? Oh, you cook the chicken fat you cook chicken skin in the chicken fat, and you literally get these, like, double chicken-flavored chicharrones.
Yeah.
And they are so fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm going to garnish my gefilte fish tacos with gribenes. That's going to be the topping. That's going to be the crunchy topping.
I'm just glad that you get to express yourself with your Jew food. That's what I'm happy
about. Are there any very specific Sephardic, Persian Jewish like traditions with Hanukkah?
Not really. I mean, honestly, the latkes are one. The kukus yizamini is one. The gelt. We have gundi, which again is like a matzah ball. But instead of matzah meal, we use chickpea flour and a lot of cardamom.
Interesting.
Yeah. Wait, so
I've never had. Is it served in soup?
You've never had gundi?
I've never had gundi.
It's like chicken noodle soup, except no noodles. And then you put chickpeas in. And then you have the balls that float in the liquid. And then you have it with rice and tadik, which is a crispy rice.
That sounds like a delight.
It's really good.
I love matzo ball soup because it's a vegetarian meatball. It's a vegan meatball. It's just a bread ball.
So good.
Bread ball floating in soup. And also just a deep, dark roasted stock with the fresh dill on it. Like, to me, that's really a delight.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, I've gone to delis and like, a lot of the food you get at deli, it's not great, right? Like, you can be able to say that.
Sometimes, I think, again, like, the menu is no longer, it's not curated at a Jewish deli.
Yeah, they got everything, the kreplach, they got the knishes.
What's kreplach?
Kreplach?
Never had
kreplach. Jewish wontons. You never had kreplach?
No.
Oh my God, it's great. Yeah, it's just these overcooked, like, Jewish wontons. Meg, you had kreplach? Yeah, it's overcooked Jewish wontons sitting in soup, and they kind of just dissolve in your mouth.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it's a delight.
A crab rangoon?
No, but like the softest thing you ever had.
But you said it was fried.
What?
It fried?
No, it's in soup. Wait, Meg, you search kreplach.
I want to eat kreplach.
Yeah.
Oh, never had it, but boy, does that look good.
Yeah, but see, the pictures you're seeing, it looks like it's going to have some chew to it because it looks like pasta, but when at the deli, they're not like adding the kreplach fresh to the soup. They're sitting in a vat.
Sitting there, yeah.
And so it just dissolves in your mouth. It's like if you got wonton soup in a can that was canned about 10, 15 years ago. At the factory? That's what kreplach is. At least my experience.
Josh, I have one question. Now, this has nothing to do with Hanukkah food, but you're getting a sandwich at the deli. Is it pastrami or is it corned beef?
Ooh, this is a controversial opinion.
Maybe we should make this a podcast idea. Corned beef versus pastrami?
Find out next time on A Corned Beef is a Hot Dog.
Jewish food.
Jewish food wars.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casserole!
Do you know how to say that in Hebrew?
No, I did not. I got kicked out of Hebrew school.
Shalom. That's all I got.
Shalom.
Shalom. Okay. Oh, all right. First up, we got @ClaireDeLune314. Hershey's chocolate is disgusting and tastes like vomit and isn't worth the sugar. You should try Gelt.
You should try Gelt that you've left in your house for 2 years and you find it in a cabinet and you're like, oh, this looks good. And then you open it and then it's like bloomed.
Yeah, it's got the white dust on it.
Yeah, it's not dust though. It's the cocoa. That's the cocoa butter separating from the chocolate.
No, it's the holy dust that you add to the Gelt to imbue it with the powers of the Maccabees.
Josh.
Nicole, that's what it is.
And
Gelt makes Hershey's just taste like the finest Swiss chocolatier.
Straight up.
It is literally like the American cheese of chocolate.
It's really
except it doesn't taste good.
So much worse.
It's still pretty good though. Like in a pinch, it's still.
It reminds me of my childhood, and that's why I love it so much.
It's chewy.
It's an interactive food.
Yeah.
It's an interactive food. I like that. Ladybird 22233 says Halloween Oreos are my fave Oreo. I know they're the same as regular, but they are different somehow. They're not the same if they're different. If
yeah, they got the orange. They got the orange in it, and it's fun. It's fun for the kids.
I wonder if we blindfolded this person and fed them Oreos, one of them being the Halloween variety, one of them being not the Halloween variety, if they would know the difference.
You know what my problem with anyone who does blindfolded taste tests on the internet?
What's that, Josh?
You don't eat blindfolded. Like the site matters. It simply matters. You see the orange, that's fun. People are like, we did the Flamin' Hot Cheeto recipe online. Everyone was like, why'd you add the food dye? It would taste the same without it. It's because people only like it for the food dye. It's bright red. It's fun. It's for fun.
Josh loves airing out his grievances.
Have fun.
On this podcast.
Cheese and rice. Okay. No, my favorite Oreos are the...
Double stuffed!
No. What's the gross one? It was like pecan pie, caramel brittle, nonsense, coconut
caramel.
Yeah.
Ew, nasty.
Oh my god, it tastes like just a whole bottle
carrot
of sun
cake. Carrot
lotion.
Cake.
Carrot cake was terrible.
Ugh.
That was a really bad Oreo.
Oreo, just call us.
But I love their fun flavors. They're out there, they're having fun, they're doing it.
The best Oreo is the dark chocolate Oreo.
Eh, too much chocolate.
Mm,
oh, golden Oreos. Just give me a bunch of Nilla wafers and a thing of Duncan Hines frosting, and that's the best cream cookie.
LTABs. Oh, sorry. That's yours.
LTAB says, Kool-Aid should come pre-sweetened. Huh. No. The reason it's not is because it would be a lot more expensive for Kool-Aid. There are products out there that, I mean, Kool-Aid does also make a pre-sweetened version.
They do?
Yeah, it's just sold in like much bigger tubs, and then that becomes very expensive for them to ship, and then you are paying more for that. So if you're buying sugar in bulk, like in the Mythical Kitchen, we have just like a 100-pound tub of sugar.
Yeah.
That sometimes I just eat. I just go in there and lick it.
I know you don't.
I put my tongue directly on the 100-pound bulk of sugar.
Shut up.
I go, num.
That's really upsetting.
Sometimes I like to climb in the flour bin and yell, I'm a dirty boy.
That's fine. Just don't lick the sugar anymore.
They make pre-sweetened Kool-Aid. It's just way more expensive. And so that's why the packs are so freaking cheap, because it's just food dye and flavor chemicals. And then you add your own sugar.
I think Kool-Aid should just be as it is. And you can be responsible for your own success and just put your own sugar in.
I like Crystal Light.
I don't.
It's like Kool-Aid for someone who went to one Pilates class one time.
Did you ever like Mio? Like, you know those like things that are like, oh, like
Mio
drinking water is boring. Here's a cool way to drink water.
Yeah,
dumb.
Mio is literally Crystal Light thinned out with a little bit of water.
Oh no.
I was on the Mio train for a while, but Crystal Light is the best powdered drink mixer.
I don't do that stuff. I don't like it.
Delight.
Okay. Adriana Shaw says, pizza rolls dipped in sour cream is the only acceptable way to eat pizza rolls. No. I don't know.
It's like when people talk about dipping fries in mayonnaise. Uh-huh. Both mayonnaise and sour cream are merely incomplete ranch. That's what it is.
Sure.
Both are components of ranch, and when you add the other ranch ingredients to both of those, it becomes a better product.
Yeah. Latkes. Remember how we were talking about latkes?
Mm.
Yeah.
Latkes and ranch?
No, we didn't say latkes. We didn't
I've never
say
done
that.
It.
You know what we should do? Latkes with the ranch powder.
Dude,
on it.
Bro.
Ranch latkes.
I mean, why doesn't anyone just sell like seasoned up latkes? Like you would like, you have the popcorn seasonings, just make a bunch of latkes seasonings.
Yeah.
Sounds
no one
good.
Would buy. No one.
Why? No. Dude, there's going to be a deluge of Jewish hipster food item. Like,
deluge?
We got to jump into this
Get
like Jewish, like Russian Jewish ceviche game. Where we're making like artisanal kippered herrings with like, I don't know, like
tinned
smoked
fish is
habanero.
Very, listen, tinned fish is very in vogue right now.
I'm not talking about tinning. I'm talking about like a little ceviche stand at the beach, and I'm serving people creamed herring, but with like one Bobby Flay ass ingredient in there.
This guy wants to sell kippers and cream at the beach in Santa Monica?
No.
Ancho chili
creamed herring at the beach.
Josh, again, normally
Hot
I
day.
Love your ideas.
Cold fish.
Right now, I need you to just put a lid on it.
You're lost. When Netflix offered to sell to Blockbuster, and Blockbuster said, nah, we're the future, not Netflix. And this is your Netflix moment, Nicole.
Thanks a lot, Ted Sarandos.
And you, Susan Sarandos. Wife of Ted Sarandos.
No.
What do we got? At OKCowgirl1421, peanut butter mixed with pancake syrup is a better way to have a PB&J. What the heck? I can't read. They like to mix peanut butter with pancake syrup. Hell yeah. That's great. You know what you've done? You've made a better product.
Yeah.
You've just made maple peanut butter. That's great.
Yeah, you should sell maple peanut butter.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
you rule.
Great
you,
idea.
You sell that before we do. Now it's a race between us and you.
I'm making it.
Okay, it's either OKC Owl Girl or OK Cowgirl.
Like OK Cupid Owl Girl?
Well, no, I don't know if they're from Oklahoma City.
Oh.
I think they're an Oklahoma City outgirl.
We are on so many, we are in like different, like.
Different astral planes right
you
now.
You and I are just on two different planets, man. My guy. Okay, Tasty Curly Fries says, the satisfaction. Sorry.
Yeah.
This is a really funny opinion. Tasty Curly Fries says, the satisfaction of eating food is based on how much you've been depriving yourself of pain. Wow.
Deep stuff here, deep stuff.
Wow. Kind of, but like, what if you never deprive yourself of anything ever?
So this is effectively like a rebuttal to hedonism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pleasure delay.
Yeah.
Edging.
This is.
I'm a fan.
This is food edging.
This is food edging. Is what it is, and I think it's just smart. I mean, I go. I was listening to some like bodybuilder dudes at the gym talk, and they were like, "I have one cheat meal a week," and I was like, "I have one cheat meal every meal," and I think that's a good way to go. You have one austerity meal. You have one like Greek yogurt, protein, fruit, or one like cabbage and chicken, and then the next meal gets to be like a big old burrito. And to me, that's how I find balance. It's you depriving yourself of one thing makes the other thing taste better. Mm-hmm. I've gone through stretches of my entire life where I've just eaten delicious things for every single meal.
Yeah.
No, it loses its luster. You know? You need to edge.
Yeah. You do. It gets boring after a while.
As long as everything's
too
safe, consenting, and ethical.
You ever heard of too much good stuff?
Too much good stuff.
What is that again? AMPM?
Yeah, Tungus. AMPM, official convenience store of edging. At lazy.guppy, the only way to eat raw carrots is with peanut butter. Wrong. Ranch. Nicole, you're up.
Wrong. Lemon juice. You ever dip carrots in lemon juice?
No. What were you doing with carrots earlier, though, Nicole? Do you want to tell the class?
Oh, yeah. So I went to one Pilates class, like a big dummy, without any sort of preparation. And then I pulled my groin. So I have to ice it every now and then. And then I didn't want to go to the other kitchen and get ice. So I found a bag of sliced carrots and I used that as my ice pack so nobody eat the carrots.
Yeah, but then where did you put the carrots?
On my groin.
No. After that, you put them on the counter where we were all preparing lunch. And V goes, oh, we got carrots to eat.
And then I said, no, my groin was on.
You said, no, don't eat my crotch carrots, is what you said. Nary 10 minutes ago, you said, don't eat my crotch carrots. And if you didn't say don't, that'd be an HR write-up. But since you were explicitly saying not to, then I think it's fine.
I hurt my groin. What do you want from me? It really
just
does.
Throw them away then.
It is tender. No, I need to reuse it.
Stop talking about your tender groin. Go to the other one.
You brought it up. You brought this upon yourself, Josh. Okay. Orto Malena says, apple juice is infinitely superior to orange juice. I don't like juice.
What? What the fruit? You don't like juice? You drink juice all the time, you fraud. You absolute liar, you goon.
I don't have that much juice.
You drink, so you got all the, you get your little creation juice with the turmeric.
Oh, well, yeah, that's like juice. A vegetable juice.
Oh, okay. Keep your story straight. Yeah, I prefer apple juice. Oh, you know what I really like more, though, is cider.
Okay.
And if it's, you know what they say, if it's brown, you're in cider town. If it's yellow, you got juice there, fella. I think Bill Oakley wrote that joke for The Simpsons.
Josh, I have to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Are you okay?
Never. Jesus Christ, no.
You're making me laugh
so
much.
Honestly, I made a really spicy curry for like family meal lunch right before this.
You got a P-double-O-P?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's bubbling in the guts.
Okay, you want this to be the last one?
Yeah. Real quick, do you know there's the thing where people have a disorder where they eat food and it ferments in their gut and makes them drunk?
Yeah.
Do you ever think that maybe I have that all the time and I'm just an awesome drunk?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen you like drunk. Oh, speaking of which.
Holiday party. Let's do it.
Oh, speaking of which, when it comes to juice, I like to have pineapple juice as like a chaser.
Oh, that's not. Yeah, I think a little rum and pineapple is nice.
I don't like rum.
Why do we even talk? Why are we best friends? It doesn't make any sense. You don't like rum. You don't like juice.
Oh my God. Why are we best friends? So many reasons. One of them being this podcast.
The only reason being proximity. Circumstance. Employment agreements that we both signed. All right, one more.
Okay, go for it.
Andrew R. Horn, Doritos crushed in cooked jasmine rice is delicious. That's called tatting, baby.
This is horrific. Josh, I bet you in a year you're going to make me put some sort of chip under rice and say, oh, make Doritos Tadig.
Don't say make you. If you want to make Dorito Tadig on your own volition, you may, of course.
I give you an adventure.
On that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or @Hendizada with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
I'll see you next time.